Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Now to my Father I depart, from earth to heaven ascending, and heavenly wisdom to impart, the Holy Spirit sending. In trouble, he will comfort you and teach you always to be true, and into truth shall guide you. These words of Dr. Luther's hymn come to us from St. John chapter 16, verse 13, where Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth." Truth is defined by one trusted Bible dictionary as the quality of being in accord with what is true, such as truthfulness, dependability, or uprightness. Truth is also the actual state of things, an actual event in history, or a reality. Truth is also the content of what is true, the truth. Like Jack Nicholson cries out to Tom Cruise in the movie A Few Good Men, "You can't handle the truth." Mostly the Bible. In the Bible, truth means the content of Christianity as being the ultimate truth. "Sanctify them in the truth," prays our Lord. "Your word is truth." The psalmist said, "Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law, your holy word, is truth." All the truth which Jesus says the Holy Spirit will lead Jesus' disciples to is that which is necessary to be saved. That truth is found in the Spirit-inspired prophetic and apostolic scriptures. These scriptures point to and find their meaning in Christ himself, who is called by the Gospel of John the very Word of God incarnate, the Word made flesh, whose glory is seen in the world, full of grace and truth. Jesus is righteousness itself. He is goodness and dependability, truthfulness. As he says of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So for the Holy Spirit to guide us as Jesus' disciples in all the truth is to keep us on the way of God's word, to lead us to Jesus, and to help us to follow where he leads and on the way in which he leads us, which is to be within and guided by the truth of his word, his law, and his gospel. Now, the world and the devil battles all men spiritually and tries to sell you that there is no absolute truth, that there are many ways and many truths, and you choose your own way and your own truth, and whatever you define truth as is your truth. This is the biggest gleaming lie of modern times from the devil, to say that each person believes and defines truth for his or herself. I think we see this very clearly in the storm that is brewing in this country. We saw it brew and foment around the passage of the anti-abortion law in the state of Alabama this week. Those on the pro-abortion side have lost their minds defending what they have to know is indefensible: the murder of unborn children. They literally have said anything this week to ignore that truth about children. They've defined their own reality, their own version of the truth. It's as if the baby in the womb is somehow not really human, not worthy of living. Another example is the man up from South Bend who's attempting to run for president, who is openly homosexual. He claims that he is Christian and that his God is okay with his brand of truth. Again, he has been fooled into defining for himself his own version of the truth and ignoring the truth of the clear word of God. These examples, however, are not the only guilty parties in this redefining of truth. We participate in defining our truth, our own truth, no matter what the sin is that we participate in. The devil tempts us to define truth away from God's word and to take action on our impulses and our lusts and our desires. And when the devil tempts us to small shame and vice or great shame and vice, when we sin against God in thought, word, and deed, and against our neighbor, we attempt to redefine truth away from Christ and his word. The Holy Scriptures are the judge of all things. This word of God rejects, curses, and condemns everything that the world undertakes, concludes, and ordains that is of its own mind and its own reason apart from God's word to us. If it is not built on the foundation of the God's word, no matter what this world constructs, no matter how it might gleam and shine and glisten, it is a false, misleading dream devoid of truth. It will eventually be overturned. It will be like the house built upon the sand. When the mighty storm of God's judgment comes, great will be its fall. Whatever is not built on the rock of Christ and his truth is pure sin and utter damnation. There is absolute and certain truth. Today, on the fifth Sunday of Easter, we pray that God would make the minds of his faithful, your minds, to be of one will with him, to be led in all the truth by the Holy Spirit, to love what he has commanded and desire what he has promised. This is to love and desire Jesus and his word. For there in him is the way to heaven, the way to the Father, the way to a real and everlasting life. And yes, you can't see it now, but it's there. It's yours in Jesus. There is no better time to be led into all the truth than Easter season. For when that cry rings out, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, hallelujah, we confess to the world the truth that all things our Lord Jesus teaches us in his word. All the things that he commands and promises, they are absolutely and finally true, above and beyond anything else. Because indeed, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, the apostle admits, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And we, who preach that word, are found to be misrepresenting God. Because the apostles have testified to the death, even, about God, that the truth is that he indeed raised Christ after he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. If Christ has not been raised, then the apostles' preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain, and all is lost. We are most in need of mercy, says Paul, if we have put all hope in a Christ who has not been raised. But in fact, the truth is that Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The apostles have delivered to us this truth. Christ obeyed his Father's will perfectly for our sake. He died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Something that all the prophets pointed forward to. And then he appeared alive to Peter and to the 12, to 500 brothers at one time, to James, his doubting half-brother, to all the apostles, and finally to Paul on the road to Damascus, where he changed the church's biggest persecutor into its biggest confessor of the truth about Christ. To know all the truth about God is to know the truth about how God comes to you and saves you from the lies and schemes of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. God's truth is not a mathematical equation for you to figure out. It's not like a jigsaw puzzle that you have to put together. God is not a philosophical riddle to solve. We don't have to figure him out. He shows himself openly to you and reveals all things to you openly through his Holy Spirit. This sort of truth-telling is done when someone loves somebody else unconditionally. The love of our Heavenly Father is the love that sent his Son to suffer and die for you. To know that his Son and his love for you is to know him in his suffering and death, because in dying for you, he washed away your sin and took God's anger away. To know the Holy Spirit and his love for you is to know him as he glorifies Christ by taking what is Christ and declaring it to you, which is to direct you to the suffering and death and resurrection of Christ our Lord. That is the center of all truth. The Father told the Son to go. The Son, in loving obedience, he went. And the Spirit directs you in his church to him. You and all believers are born from above, where the Holy Spirit joins you to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And the power of holy baptism is the power of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him and his work on the world's behalf. Our Lord Christ has indeed made a plentiful provision for you in his church and has given you the blessed truth of his divine word. We have the gift of Holy Scripture accessible to you, read and preached openly. We have the true doctrine explicated for us and for our children in the Catechism, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Our Father, the daily prayers, the Table of Duties. We have true Christian ceremonies and rites that deliver the grace and mercy of Jesus, holy baptism, absolution, the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. The Spirit of truth will glorify me, promises Jesus, for he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. In Christ, we know and can live in and can joyfully handle all the truth. And that truth is the way to heaven and eternal life. And while you are on the way in Jesus and his truth, the Holy Spirit, whom Christ has given to you in your baptism, strengthens you each day in the faith, sustains you in every trial, recalls and explains for you Christ's words, and guides you, and finally brings you to the heavenly fatherland of eternal life. Thanks be to God for all the truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.